I suggested last week that our greatest need in 2020 is to know Jesus more. To know him for who he is. To know him as the eternal creator God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who has made himself known to us as I am. John in his gospel is very helpful at this point. He not only records for us Jesus revealing himself as I am, but he also tells us how Jesus wants to be I am in our lives here and now. How Jesus wants to be I am to you and me right now. And so we hear Jesus saying to us, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And so over the next few weeks, let's allow Jesus to speak into our lives, to show himself to us afresh, to meet our desperate need as sinners and weaklings. Remember how Roy Hessen put it? Jesus is presented in Scripture not for our academic contemplation and delight, but for our desperate need as sinners and weaklings. And so, where do we begin such a journey? Well, can I suggest we need to see clearly. We need to hear Jesus saying to us afresh, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world. As human beings, we have been created uniquely in the image of God. Yes, indeed, the Bible tells us that all things, the universe, all living things, everything has been created by God. But you and I, as human beings, have been created uniquely, distinct from the whole of creation, because we have been created in the image of God. We have been made in such a way that we can know God. Think of it. Yes, we can know God. We can live in relationship with him in a beautiful world created for us to richly enjoy. We have been made to live in the light of God's presence and goodness. Kerry and I have a friend who used to live an 8-hour train ride north of Moscow. She's from Queensland. And I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like for her in those dark, cold Russian winters. Michelle was a very inventive person. Can you imagine, can you guess how she survived those winters? She got a sun lamp and left it on in her apartment. She said, that's the only thing that kept me from going crazy. Some people who know her might have suggested it didn't work, but that's another story. Now I know people live in places where the sun rarely shines. I know it's possible. But for me, well, personally, I'm just not convinced it's how we were supposed to live. I'm a person who needs light. It's as simple as that. Well, in a similar way, Jesus being the light of the world means we need his light. What we need to understand is that this is no foreign light. It is native to this world. This is how it is supposed to be. The world has no other light than Him to enable us to see and experience the beauty and the wonder of life as God planned it. John reminds us of this when he describes what he saw when Jesus comes again and restores all things. Yes, indeed, as we look around at our world, we're very conscious of the presence of darkness, aren't we? Of the ugliness of sin and evil, of brokenness and pain. But this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not how God made it to be. And indeed, the whole purpose of the coming of Jesus is to restore all things according to the purpose of God. And listen to how John describes this at the end, in the end game, Revelation 22. No longer will there be any curse. The curse of sin and death. The destruction, the brokenness. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. What a glorious picture. Jesus is the light of the world who has come to heal and restore this world. We can never know life as God intended it apart from Jesus. There is no light at all. But we see here in this description that Jesus gives of Himself also that Jesus, the light, has overcome the darkness. How did He put it? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness. This is a definitive statement. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not never walk in darkness. Yes, when I look around at our world, I'm reminded of one time when I was young and and visiting my uncle and auntie. I grew up in Sydney, in the city, and so I was never conscious of the absence of light. Even in the night, there were street lights going on. But we every so often would visit our uncles and aunties, grandparents who lived in rural New South Wales. And on this one occasion, I was staying out at my uncle's farm. And it was one of those times in the month where the moon just wasn't there. And so there was no moonlight, there was no stars, in fact, this particular night. It was just this dark, dark night. And I'm sleeping as a relatively young child in this unfamiliar room, this unfamiliar space. And as it occurred, I woke up in the night wanting to go to the toilet. But I couldn't see anything. And I couldn't remember, sort of in my half-asleep, half-awake delirium, where the door of the room was. And I'm kind of walking around going like this. And at one stage, I was crawling around the room, trying to find my way out of this stupid room. I just could not find it. I'm groping in the dark, and you can appreciate I'm under pressure here, and this was a difficult situation. Just to finish this off, yes, I did find my way out eventually. It worked out okay, but there was a point in time there I thought, man, I am in strife. I am in the dark here, and I just cannot get myself out of this situation. Why is the world like it is? Because people are trapped. People are walking in darkness. I mean, if only I had my little torch with me. Oh, doesn't work. If only I had my little torch with me in that dark room on that night. If only I could have turned it on, because I would have instantly seen things exactly as they are. I would have seen where everything was. You see, light exposes things hidden in darkness. Jesus explained it like this in John chapter 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Here is the reality of our world. People love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. When Jesus said people loves, he's talking about choices we make. We choose sin. We choose darkness. Humanity has chosen darkness. Sure, the devil came into God's good creation and the devil tempted us, tempts humanity. The fact of the matter is, humanity chose. We like to blame the devil. It's not his fault. It's mine and yours. It's ours. We did it. We did it. That's what Jesus is saying here, because of we don't want our evil deeds exposed, that as we come into the light, we see who we are for ourselves. Yes, light exposes the reality of our world, of its darkness, of its desire to rebel against God and go its own way. But notice also, Jesus, as the light of the world, not only exposes sin, he overcame it. John, in his first chapter, put it this way: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The English translators over the centuries have had an interesting time with this verse, and the majority of translations use the word overcome it. A few translations wants to say understand it, but the default of the translators has been, hang on, no, that's losing the sense of what's going on here. The word understanding says, oh yeah, okay, I get it, I see what's going on. But the word overcome carries the idea of conflict. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil, the impact of darkness. There was a conflict between darkness and light. And Jesus conquered the darkness. I understand the concept of sunsets, where the image is of the night swallowing the light. The fact of the matter is, the imagery that we're seeing here is of sunrise, of the sun breaking into the night. And no matter how hard that at that dawn time, the night tries. And yes, I know I've got an overactive imagination, but I see a war every morning. And the light wins every day. And that's the imagery here. The light has overcome the darkness. The darkness has not been able to overcome. Jesus is Lord. When he hung on the cross and rose again, he died for sin and death once and for all. He defeated it. He conquered it. Yes, we live in a broken world, but Jesus, the light, has overcome the darkness. And we can confidently walk today knowing that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness in this life and in the life to come. We have been given, we are people of hope. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. And we see also that Jesus, the light, gives life. Whoever follows him will have the light of life. John 1:4, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind, of all humanity. Plants need sunlight. They are said to be positively phototropic. They are drawn to the light. I know I've had many a plant die for lack of sunlight. You see, for plants, where there is no light, there is no life. And that is true for us. If we are to live and grow as followers of Jesus, we need the light of his presence shining into our lives every day. There is an interdependence at work here. Jesus, the light, gives those who follow him light and life. The picture that the Bible paints for us is that we are dead and blind to the light until the life of Jesus is imparted to us by God's Spirit. And then we see. This is a work of the Spirit of God. The eyes of our hearts are opened and divine light streams into our living spirits. And thus we have the light of life. The light that comes from new spiritual eye-opening life. The life that gives sight to the blind soul. Eternal life giving eternal life giving eternal sight. And so here is our reality. Jesus, I need you. Shine. Shine the light of your life into me today. I love the way the psalmist put it. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. You, Lord, I'm dependent on you. You, the one who is the giver of life, give me life today. I come to you. I cling to you. Yes, Lord Jesus, turn my darkness into light. And so, yes, Jesus, the light of the world has come. We, as the followers of Jesus, are living in a bright and sunny place. Where the sun is shining, where the rising sun has come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. My friends, walk in the light. Bask in the light. Enjoy the light. Delight in him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you, in your eternal purpose, made us that we might know you, that we might enjoy you, that we might bask in the light of your goodness, your presence, your power, your majesty. Shine on us. Yes, Lord Jesus, light of the world, shine on us. We would see Jesus, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.